the motivation to develop this dual-loop quantum cosmology. Then I will speak in detail about the analytical continuation that we are using and how we have built this analytical continuation in the context of black hole physics. And then I will go to the first result, which is loop quantum cosmology in arbitrary spin, which for the moment doesn't exist. And then I will speak about the construction of self-dual loop quantum cosmology, and then I will conclude. So the different motivations are the following one. We want to implement in loop quantum cosmology the analytical continuation from gamma real to gamma purely imaginary that have been tested and proposed in the context of black hole physics. And the idea is to study whether this procedure preserves the Bonsing scenario and how it affects the semi-classical limit of the quantum universe. So the more general idea is the more general goal is to get new insight on how the self-dual quantum theory could or should be constructed. Okay. So let me present the analytical continuation. So to give a few words about the context. So it was first proposed in the context of black hole physics by Froden, Geller, Nouy, and Perez in 2012. And then we rigorously defined it afterwards, still in the context of black hole physics, with Karim Nouy and Amaury Mouchet. And we recently implemented it in loop quantum cosmology with Julien Grin. So what are the motivations to work with gamma equal I? So you all know well this part. So gamma, as you know, doesn't play any role at the classical level, and up to now, we don't have really a good interpretation of this parameter, and we don't know why it should play such a crucial role at the quantum level. There is also an aesthetical reason, which is that the real Hashley-Carbabo connection doesn't respect the time diffeomorphism symmetry, while the complex version does. And now there is stronger argument, the most important one being that the Hamiltonian constraint is polynomial when gamma is equal to I. And then there is two work that we have done which point toward the importance of the complex HDK variable. So first, the use of the complex HDK variable leads to the right semi-classical limit in black hole physics without any fine-tuning, which is drastically different from the real case. And from previous work that we have done in three-dimensional gravity, where we have developed a model where the Barberio-Mézy parameter is present, we were able to study its fate at the quantum level, and we were able to show that it's totally irrelevant at the quantum level. Yes? The second point is just that the bar term, which is in K wedge K, in the Hamiltonian constraint, drop out when gamma equal I. This is just what I mean by this.
It's also a complex connection, the space-time connection, which you pull back in the surface. Whereas the HDK part of the connection, there's no space-time connection.
Yes. Yes.
And the last point, so what do you mean by irrelevant, so it doesn't appear in the spectrum?
Well, when you so in this model, the Barberio-Mézy parameter is present, and you can do the Hamiltonian analysis in two different gauges, one which mimic the time gauge, which is usually used, and one which is we call the non-compact gauge. And you see that when you at the end of the day, when you have done the Hamiltonian analysis, the Mézy parameter is not present in the fast space. So when you will quantize, you won't have this parameter in the quantum theory. So the general strategy is to develop an analytical continuation from the real kinematical Hilbert space to the complex one. And such procedure should, in principle, solve the reality condition. So at the end of the day, you want to have a real and positive area spectrum, and the same for the volume spectrum. And the idea is to systematically study this procedure and how it affects the interesting result of real loop quantum gravity and real loop quantum cosmology. Okay, so this is the general strategy that we are taking. So this is the concrete procedure. The analytical continuation that we are using consists in two steps. This is extremely simple here, but when you want to implement it, like in black hole, it is much more involved. So the first step, so it's to send the Barberio-Mézy parameter to a purely imaginary value. And then you need at the same time to send the spin which color the spin network, which are half integer, to this peculiar value, which is 1/2 times minus 1 plus is, where s is a positive real number. Okay, so this is the prescription. Okay. Okay, you can first apply it to the area spectrum, the real area spectrum, and the modification of this using this procedure will give you this new area spectrum. Okay, so from this little exercise, you can see different, you can make different observations. So first, the area spectrum remains positive and real even if gamma is not equal to I, plus or minus I. Okay. You end up with a gamma independent and continuous spectrum, but there is still an area gap for s equals 0. And now you can also recognize that this area spectrum is given by the Casimir of the H11 group in the continuous representation. Okay. And since now you see that you are working with, it seems that you work with a non-compact group, there is a new Ubiquitous difficulty when you work with such object. That is to say, defining the scalar product and defining what is a non-compact spin network. So this was investigated in great detail by Laurent Friedel and Etera Levin, but there is still huge difficulties to work with such object. And this is why we are interested in studying self-dual loop quantum cosmology, because it is a much more simplified model, and we can have access to quantum states and maybe to define the interesting scalar product. Okay, so now let me speak about the result that we have in black hole physics briefly. So as you know, the transition from quantum black hole to semi-classical black hole offers an interesting arena to test the scheme of semi-classical limit of loop quantum gravity. And in a real loop quantum gravity, you can recover the right Bekenstein-Hawking area law, but it requires to fine-tune the Barberini parameter to a peculiar value, which is given by this value. So actually, there are several value, but here I show one. What we have shown is that surprisingly, when you work, you implement this analytical continuation on the Verlinde formula, which gives you the degenerescence number for the quantum black hole. So working with the complex HDK variable leads to the right semi-classical result without any fine-tuning. And this was first shown by Froden, Gellon, Wu, and Perez, as I said. And then we make another study and we recover also the right logarithmic correction. So this is the first argument to say that to deal with the semi-classical limit in the context of black hole, it could be interesting to come back to the complex HDK variable at some point. And there is also another analytical continuation that was proposed by Marc Geller and Karim Nui in the context of the BTZ black hole, where they used the analytical continuation not with gamma, but with the cosmological constant, where they send the cosmological constant from its negative value to its positive value to its negative value. Okay. So let me be more concrete. How do we build the analytical continuation in black hole physics? So as you know, black hole in loop quantum gravity are described by isolated horizon on which a Chern-Simons level, Chern-Simons theory lives. So the area of the hole, the Barberini parameter, and the Chern-Simons level K are linked by this constraint. Quantizing this Chern-Simons theory on the horizon leads to the quantum black hole. Okay. So the question that we can ask is, can we build a quantum black hole with the Barberini parameter being equal to plus or minus I? Okay. So the first observation is that if you ask that gamma become purely imaginary, the Chern-Simons level has also to become purely imaginary to keep an area positive and real. Okay, so I put here the transformation for the area when you ask that gamma become plus or minus I.
Are you thinking about 3 plus 1.
One of the main important ingredients to obtain the black hole entropy is the Verlinde formula, which gives you the number of quantum state of the quantum black hole, which is given by this formula. So the Chern-Simons level appear here, and there is also the color of the spin, which is given by DL. Okay. So when Froden, Gellon, Wu, and Perez tried the first analytical continuation, they used this formula, where k enter here in the sum. And when you send k to a purely imaginary value, you have an ill-defined formula. And therefore, the first step that we used is to reinterpret this formula as a sum of residue on, of an holomorphic function on the complex plan, which is given by this integral. Okay. So the poles are given by are the poles of this this function, and here k and dl are still integer at this point. Okay, you don't, you just reinterpret this formula into this one. So it turns out that the poles of this integrand, which come from this part, are on the imaginary axis, and you can choose a contour which encompasses the imaginary axis between 0 and I pi. Okay. And therefore, the problem reduced to an integration on the complex plan, and therefore to the choice of the contour C, okay, that you are using.
Can you explain how the truncation here?
Sorry?
Can you explain how the truncation in this
sum? What the truncation?
From this integral. The sum goes from 1 to k, whereas you have an infinite set of poles in the
bottom. No, because when you choose the contour, you you enclose only a certain number of poles.
So that's your choice.
Yeah, this is a choice.
The contour depends on k.
Well, here you have. Well, actually, the if you you change k, you will have more poles in the same contour. So the contour doesn't depend on k. Yeah.
So your contour is.
Yeah. Sure. So you have, so this is C. And actually you need to you need to divide it in two parts because you have this this function is not continuous on the this axis. So you need to divide it in two parts, but this is a subtlety. Okay, so so therefore, the, as I said, the problem is reduced to an integration of on the complex plan, and therefore to a choice of the contour. Okay. So defining a quantum black hole for gamma equal plus or minus rho I reduced to an analytical continuation of the Chain-Simon theory, and fortunately for us, Witten have studied intensively this problem. In 2010, and in a huge paper where he explained how to use what we call the Morse theory, but actually we only needed the basic fact of this, these different tools. So okay, to summarize, so the starting point is the precedent integral here, okay, where k and dl are where k and dl are integer, okay. So if you just use this, you end up with the usual real quantum black hole, and you end up with the same result of for the black hole entropy with this fine tuning on the Barberio-Mézy parameter. Then you can try a first attempt, naive attempt, to just send k to a purely imaginary value, and to let dl being an integer. So in this case, the pole will be rotated, and they will belong to the real axis. Okay. So therefore, the contour that you have chosen won't enclose any more pole, and the integral will vanish, and therefore it will lead to an inconsistent analytical continuation. Okay, so now you can try another attempt, which is the actually the good one, which is in the same time that you are sending k to a purely imaginary value, you send also the spin to a purely imaginary value. Okay, so using the so d equal is using this using this trick that I have shown just before. Okay, so this is why I'm saying that d becomes purely imaginary. D is not the, the spin j. This is, yeah, 2j plus 1. Okay, and in this case, the pole. In this case, the pole will be rotated also, and they will belong both to the real and the imaginary axis, and therefore you, the contour will enclose some pole, and the integral won't vanish. And this is actually the unique way to have a consistent analytical continuation in this context. Okay. So to summarize, so we have a definition for the number of microstates in the case where gamma equal i. So when asking that gamma equal i, you need to send the chance amounts levy to a purely imaginary value, and also the color of the spin to a purely imaginary value also. And since we are interested in the large black hole with large area, we want to take the limit where lambda is large, so k equal I lambda. Okay, when we this is lambda, and therefore you end up with this the integral reduced to this one. Okay, after having taken this limit, and after having doing all this change. Now to simplify the problem, you can work with what we call the one color model, which is just the assumption that all the edges are colored with the same spin. We have worked out the case where you don't make this assumption, but here I just present the simplest model. Okay, so the number of microstates can be, so this integral can be recast into this form. And therefore, for where here n is the number of punctures crossing the horizon. And when n is large, so in the thermodynamical limit, you can apply the stationary phase method and compute this integral, identifying the critical point which dominate the integral. Okay, so now what we have done is to compute the partial function in the grand canonical ensemble using the techniques that have been developed by Froden, Gauche, and Perez. So that is to say, we use the for this grand canonical ensemble the notion of energy that we call the notion of Froden-Gauche-Perez energy. And you can then compute the evaluate the entropy for this black hole with a chemical potential mu, and you end up with this result. So where at the leading term you end up with the right Bekenstein-Hawking area law without any fine tuning, and you end up also with some logarithmic quantum correction. And this chemical potential has to be fixed to this peculiar value to remove some bad quantum correction which are in the square root of the area. And actually this is not special to our case, because you have to do the same thing when you introduce a chemical potential in the real case when the Barbieri music parameter is real. So we recover the same need to fix the chemical potential. The puncture. So therefore, this is what I will explain just. So the first result is that we can recover the right semi-classical limit with the logarithmic correction without any fine tuning using this analytical continuation. So working with the complex HTK variable. Okay, and so as I said, you need to fix this chemical potential to this value, which is 2 times the en route temperature. And you see that therefore, when you remove a puncture, you will emit a quanta of energy, which is equal to this energy. And therefore, this is a kind of sign of radiation, if you want. And it could be interesting to make a clearer link with the work that have been done by Mark Geller and Karim Nui about this radiation. Okay, and next, from this work, just to give some perspective, from this work, we can now try to implement some quantum statistics for the puncture, such as Bose-Einstein statistic or Fermi-Dirac statistic. And what we are doing right now is to study the role of the chemical potential in the context of these different quantum statistics in the semi-classical limit of loop quantum gravity, okay, for this for the black hole. Okay, so this is yes, the chemical potential actually doesn't play any role to get this leading term without any fine tuning.
It doesn't
play any role. It just you fix this chemical potential to this value to remove a bad quantum correction. So there is generally you have another term which is in the square root of the area, and in front of it you have one minus well, if you have a factor that if you fix mu to this value, it removes the bad quantum correction. Don't know if it's clear, no? And I can show you if you want after. But fixing this is not a fine tuning to obtain this, okay? It's not related. Okay, so now let me speak about the application of this analytical continuation to loop quantum cosmology. So the idea is to apply this analytical continuation to real loop quantum cosmology. And to do so, we need to define an Hamiltonian for loop quantum cosmology, which depends on any arbitrary spin j, okay? Because you want to implement this transformation, okay? And up to now, the Hamiltonian that is used is only work out in the spin 1/2 representation, okay? So this is actually the first result of the work that we have done, is that we got a new closed formula for such an Hamiltonian, okay? Actually, it leads to interesting results already for real loop quantum cosmology, and it generalized precedent work that have been done by Kevin van der Sloot on the Hamiltonian of loop quantum cosmology for J equal 1. Okay, so here I give the result. Here this is the spin J dependent curvature computed in the J representation, arbitrary J representation. So D is 2J plus 1. And here you see that you recover the usual term in the spin 1/2 representation. And here you have a derivative of the SU2 character, okay? So this is the main gradient for computing the Hamiltonian in the J representation. And the variable theta and the variable B, which is usually used in LQC, are linked by this formula, okay? And asking in this formula, asking J equal 1/2 for J equal 1, you recover the usual result of usual LQC or the work of Kevin van der Sloot. And now here I put the full Hamiltonian, which is the J dependent Hamiltonian, okay? So this is the starting point for the analytical continuation, okay? You want to analytically continue this Hamiltonian using the prescription that I've used, that I've presented just before. This lambda doesn't have any link with this one. This here lambda is the so here this lambda is given by the Planck length times the square root of the area gap. Here. Okay. From this Hamiltonian you can from this Hamiltonian, you can work out the energy density in this universe, which is actually related to the scalar field. And you end up with this this formula. And the first result is that it remains bounded, just as the curvature. So for any J representation, there is a bound. Okay. I will show you just after a plot, which make more clear this statement. An interesting thing is that for G superior to 1/2, the density can become negative value. So this is something that has to be taken with caution, because actually, since we are when we are working out this formula, you are doing a truncation in the calculation of the curvature in LQC. So this is not exactly a physical density. So we don't know if we can really worry about this negative value density.
But the bound is also not necessarily the same as.
No, but I will show you just after the what this density look like for different spin j. I have a plot just after. So, and for j equal 1/2, you recover that the density is symmetric with regard to the bounds, and this is the only case where the density is positive for j equal 1/2. So maybe it is a kind of selection of the case J equal 1/2. This is why people work with it and not with other spin J.
So actually in the usual constructions, what is given as a reason for why they would work with J equals 1/2 other than simplicity?
The first reason is that they didn't have this formula. So, and the only work that I know, to my knowledge, was the work by Kevin van der Sloot, where he tried to he calculated the Hamiltonian for J equal 1, but it was quite complicated, and the path that he used make the result less clear, and so therefore it was not really tractable. So, okay, so I give you here the plot of the density, the spin J, the J-dependent density during the bouncing scenario. So here you have the symmetric case. Here you have the bounds, and this is the J equal 1/2 case. And for the other J, 1, 3 over 2, and 10, you have this different plot where you see that it can become negative valued, and this is no more symmetric regarding to the bounds. Okay? So this is the, well, the first result in for real loop quantum cosmology. Now, let me analytically continue this this quantum cosmology. So the idea is to define the so-called self-dual loop quantum cosmology. What we concretely do is to analytically continue the J-dependent Hamiltonian that I just presented before. And the first question is this analytical continuation that I've used in the context of black hole physics preserve the Bonsing scenario? And if and how does it affect the semi-classical limit of this quantum universe? Okay, so at large volume. And so what we have done is to work out the semi-classical theory and also the so-called exactly solvable LQC. Okay. So we don't have the full quantum theory up to now. Well, the so-called exactly solvable LQC is a quantum theory, but this is just one side of the theory. Okay, so the first thing to do is to go from real to complex variable. And to do so, you need to make the gamma dependency of the variable explicit. So usually the variable B, which is the Hubble parameter times the Barberio-Meissner parameter, is written like this. So you make the gamma dependency explicit, and you see that the B has to become purely imaginary. Okay. So B is related to this to theta, the another variable entering in our computation for the Hamiltonian, through this relation. And when you send B to purely imaginary value, you end up with this transformation where you ask that theta become purely imaginary value. And as I said, the transformation for the spin J is the following one, where S is a positive real number. Okay, so D become IS. Okay, so the result for the analytically continue curvature and the analytically continue Hamiltonian are the following one. So you see that the sinus that you have, in a loop quantum cosmology, usually you use C and P, and B is C over P 1/2. And this is given by, when you compute it, here this is the Hubble parameter. Well, when you add that gamma is imaginary, it becomes imaginary. Purely imaginary. Okay, so you end up with this curvature, and plugging this into the formula for the Hamiltonian, you end up with this new Hamiltonian, which is S dependent. Okay, S is a continuous parameter. And so you see that the sinus are replaced by hyperbolic sinus, and well, you end up with this Hamiltonian. And from this Hamiltonian, you can work out the energy density, which is given by this formula. And the interesting point is that it remains also bounded, just as the curvature. And so for any S representation, there is a bounds also. So this is the first conclusion at the semi-classical level, okay? So for S superior to zero, the density can also become negative value, just as in the real case for G superior to 1/2. But for any S, the density will remain asymmetric with regard to the bounds, which is different from the real loop quantum cosmology case. So it seems that the case S equals zero, apart from the asymmetric side, seems to be a kind of dual of the case J equals 1/2, okay? So here I give you the plot for the S equals zero density, which is the red line. And you see that it is not symmetric regarding to the bounds, okay? And in black line, this is the Hubble parameter, okay? So now let me speak about the semi-classical limit. So for lead time after the bounds, so when B is negligible, because B evolved in the reverse than the cosmic time. So when B is negligible, after the bounds, we cover the usual cosmology, which is given by this Friedman law, usual Friedman law. But for early time, before the bounds, we find a new cosmology, which is not the same as in usual LQC. And here you recover some kind of weird linear contraction law. Okay. And contrary to real loop quantum cosmology, therefore, self-dual loop quantum cosmology describes a non-symmetric bouncing universe. Okay. For any S representation. Here, we work out the S equals zero case because the other cases are much more complicated. And an interesting point is that such modified Friedmann law has been also found in Brand cosmology in the work of Cédric Defayet, David Langlois, and others. So we don't know if, well, this is just an observation. I don't know. Okay, now I will just present the exactly solvable model. So the canonical variable and the constraint are given by this different formula. So here you have the Poisson bracket between the scalar fin and its conjugate momentum, and the Poisson bracket for the gravitational variable. Here you have the volume variable, which are constrained by this Hamiltonian constraint. Okay. So here x, x depending on b, is given by this formula, where rho is where rho is this function. Okay. Where you need to put s equals zero. Okay, so in this exactly solvable model, you choose to work with quantum state, which are wave function depending on b and phi. Okay, so therefore the volume will act as a derivative operator, and the quantum version reduces as usual to the Klein-Gordon equation, which is given by this this equation. Okay, what you would like, as I said. Big X depending on B is given by this formula. Okay, and it is much more complicated than what you have usually in LQC. Usually in LQC, here you have cardinal sinus. Okay, what you want to do then is to change the variable and go from B to little x, where little x is defined using this, this transformation. And using this transformation, you can recast the Klein-Gordon equation that you have precedently into this one, okay? And then you have the usual scalar product between the quantum state. And here I just put the form of the quantum state, which are constrained by the symmetry of the problem. Okay, but this is not really important for. Okay, so the volume operator is given by this formula where the function x, big X, enter in the game. And you can work out the expectation value for the volume operator, which is given by this formula. So here it is much more complicated than the usual LQC case, real LQC case, because this function doesn't have the properties of parity or stuff like this, because usually you have an hyperbolic cosinus here. And therefore you can have a much more tractable formula. So what we have done is to plot this function, big X depending on little x. And this is given by this plot. Okay, and you can show that this function big X depending on little x admit a maximal value and falls off to zero when x goes to plus or minus infinity. Okay, so therefore, using this this fact, from this the volume admit a minimal value at the quantum level, and the minimal value is given by this minimal value. Okay. And therefore, the conclusion is that at the quantum level in this solvable model, the initial singularity is also resolved in the self-dual loop quantum cosmology, so using our analytical continuation on real loop quantum cosmology. And the analytical continuation successfully tested on black hole entropy preserves also the bouncing scenario in LQC. Okay, so this is the main result. So some perspective for this work is to go beyond this semi-classical approach and the exactly solvable model, and to define the full quantum theory of self-dual loop quantum cosmology. So what we need to do is to study the quantum state and of such quantum cosmology and to define the scalar product. So this is the main goal. And more ambitiously, it could lead to new insight about the quantum state of full self-dual loop quantum gravity. Okay. And just last slide to conclude. So to tackle the dynamic in loop quantum gravity, it might be interesting to come back to the original complex Hersteker variable. So to do so, we propose a concrete and consistent analytical continuation, which could lead to, in principle, the resolution of the reality condition. And what we have shown is that such procedure actually lead to the good semi-classical limit without any fine-tuning in black hole physics, which is already an important result. It preserves the Bunsen scenario in quantum cosmology, even if it describes an asymmetric Bunsen universe. It trades the discrete spectrum of geometric operator into a continuous spectrum. And it seems that, it just seems that it trades the SU2 spin network for non-compact spin network. And since we recognize the Casimir of the H11 group in the continuous representation, we could maybe study this this kind of spin network. And so to conclude in a more ambitious perspective, such anechoic continuation could lead to the definition of quantum self-dual Hashekar gravity. Okay, and that's it. Thank you. You mean like for the volume operator or? We didn't have tried this yet. What we have done is the first attempt to define it was for black hole physics, quantum black hole physics. And then the next move that we have done is in LQC.
But it's in black hole physics. Can you try, because here you need to be rotated from the last time. Can you go back and try to see what counts now?
Well,
and then go back to the physical picture, some state intersecting.
Well, we don't really have access to. Up to now, we don't really have access to any quantum state related to this anechoically continuous theory. So, we don't have any really pictures up to now.
Can I think of this analytical continuation as a superposition of these visual states?
Up to now, we didn't have studied this question with this angle, but it could be certainly interesting to follow this piece. Well, I think the first reason is that when you are doing this this change, this this prescription, this is only done by hand. So you end up with something that looks like the Casimir of H11. So this is a kind of just observation. But we actually don't know if we should recover at the end of the day SL2C or H11. But when you do the Hamiltonian analysis, you can make a gauge fixing, such as the time gauge. You recover the SU2 group, but you can also do a non-compact gauge fixing, and you recover from SL2C SU11. So maybe this is linked to this Hamiltonian analysis that has not been done yet, where you should use another gauge, which go from the Lorentz group to the SU11 group. Sorry? Well, this non-compact gauge have only been tested in this model that I speak about in 2+1 gravity. Yeah, so this for the moment it's not conclusive because we need to implement it in the full 4D case. But this is a work that we are doing. We are beginning with Kaminui. Yeah, the anechoic continuation that was proposed by Timan and then also Hashekar work on it. Well, it seems that it was really formal. They didn't really have this kind of, even this formula is working out by hand, it permits to actually address the problem of, concrete problems such as black hole entropy or loop quantum cosmology. What they have developed for my knowledge was really formal and was not really tractable on a concrete example. Okay, well, I didn't know the detail of this, so that could be interesting. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it could be interesting to look at this.
So one zooms out a bit. It seems that if you go to higher spin or to the top dual stuff, then many of the core features of loop quantum cosmology are somehow preserved and they seem to be robust. But if you look at the small print, then you see lots of differences. So I'm a bit puzzled by this apparent ambiguity in loop quantum cosmology. Is there at least in, semi classically, it seems like you get the same for whatever you do there. So there's no
You mean
way of distinguishing these large scale picture distinguishing these
You mean between the subdual side and the real side?
Yeah, or even like higher spin compared to J equals 1/2.
But as I said, the higher spin are not really, they give not a really physical picture because you end up with some energy which can become negative value. So you cannot really try to extract physics from this.
Yeah, but then even the
self-dual. But what you can do in self-dual, in the self-dual side, when S equals zero, since it is asymmetric, you can try to see how the perturbation or some shear will propagate through the bonds. Because if it's not symmetric, this is not the same as the usual LQC case. And I know that people have worked out this this evolution of the shear through the bonds, and they have some results. So we could compare it if we work out this this evolution. But up to now, actually, one of the bad points of this this model of self-dual LQC is that since the functions are quite involved, much more evolved than in real LQC, it is really hard to develop the perturbation setup. And up to now, we don't really have any idea how to attack the problem of perturbation, let's say. So, but in principle, there should be some physical difference that you can say, that you can look at.
Yeah. Okay, going through the bounds, but at least on large scales, far after the bounds, it seems like.
Yeah, but as I said, if you go before the bonds, you don't have the same. But so something propagating in this phase will have some different evolution, and even if at the end of the day the last phase is the same, you should recover some difference.
Do it again.